Hi, podcasters. This is Brooke with Let's Talk Art. Today I'm talking art with Kurt Mueller of the David Kordiansky Gallery in Los Angeles about the Saturn Returns exhibit by artist Chris Martin, not of Coldplay fame. The exhibit ends May 21st. We're still in the process of lining up sponsors for Let's Talk Art with Brooke, but in the meantime, if you'd like to support the podcast, please look for my book Reptiles on Caffeine on Amazon. Enjoy the podcast. So, hey, Kurt, how you doing today?
Very well. It's another sunny day in Los Angeles. Can't complain.
Yeah. So tell me about this exhibit, the Saturn Returns exhibit.
So this is our second exhibition with Chris Martin, and it's a very ambitious show. Our gallery in L.A. has two adjacent spaces that we normally program differently, each of different artists, but occasionally we give one artist both spaces, and Chris is the fourth artist to do that after Rashid Johnson, Jonas Wood, and Aaron Curry this past fall. And Chris has gone even further. So there's paintings in both galleries that are as high as 11 feet down to like 2 feet. And then he's gone outside the galleries and installed four paintings
on the
exterior of the building, on a wall near the entrance, and then also a large painting near the gallery signage on the high up on the front of the building, which is something he's done before, installing paintings outdoors. But this is the first time they're in these newer aluminum light boxes with white neon light, so it sort of activates the space both during operating hours, but then also at night as you're going down La Brea Avenue, and you can look up and see this painting 24 hours a day.
Yeah, I think I saw some pictures of those ones that are on the outside, and I was kind of confused as to like what is that? Why is that? Does that looks like it's outside? So that was kind of confusing to me, but that's real interesting that he wants to, you know, display it on the outside. Does that? Go ahead. Oh, I was going to say, does that require like a different type of like paint? Because I mean, surely it would take like weather and you know, I don't know if most paintings wouldn't take rain or, you know, even fog or humidness well. So I mean, that's got to be.
Yeah. That we're still refining as he makes more of these. When Chris started, he's one of the first painters, sort of contemporary painters, to move to Brooklyn, specifically to Williamsburg in the early 80s, along with Christopher Wool and Joyce Pensado. And he used to, if he would like kind of, Chris has had a lot of interesting jobs over the years, and as he was kind of navigating the city, and he would see a building that he thought needed a painting or
needed art.
needed some art. And for whatever reason, he would actually take one of his paintings, just like almost in a sort of graffiti like gesture, attach it to the wall.
That's
and then
really
those paintings
cool.
would not weather well and would fall apart. And I think he's over the years tried to find ways to continue doing that gesture, but in a more permanent way. And so they're installed in these aluminum powder coated boxes that are sealed and protected from the elements with UV coating. So we've yet to encounter any issues. And I know there was one installed outdoors at Anton Kern Gallery back in 2014 over the course of a winter in New York. And there are no issues. But the paintings in the boxes are just his standard acrylic on canvas works.
Cool. Well, and I was looking at a selection of his stuff, and I was wondering if they're all music related.
Music's a huge influence in Chris's world, but so is spirituality and nature, and sort of maybe in modernism, but a less MoMA idea of modernism, kind of catching some of the outliers. And, jazz, rock all figure into his thinking and also literally into the paintings. Often he will actually stick vinyl records.
Oh, cool.
That he likes directly onto the canvas. And so, and then also in this show, Amy Winehouse is a little bit of a reoccurring touchstone. Hence the title Saturn Returns, which is the recurring astrological cycle that starts arguably when an individual is about 27 years old. And as you know, there's a history of famous rock musicians, or just musicians in period, passing away when they're 27. So Amy Winehouse appears in the show in a giant 11-foot portrait, but then also collaged into other paintings. Images that Chris has found of other fans painting pictures of Amy.
Right.
So there's this kind of reflexive picture of her in the space.
Cool. So yeah, I've always thought that was pretty interesting that Jim Morrison and Kurt Cobain and just numerous artists have all reached their demise in one way or another when they were 27. And I think this is a very interesting exhibit. I'm not really sure I understand much about the Saturn Returns stuff, that whole concept. Can you tell me about it?
Yeah, it's, to be honest, it's a little, esoteric to me too, mm-hmm. but, I think the basic gist is that it's just sort of, based on planetary alignment.
Mm-hmm.
There's this recurring moment every 30 years, which are kind of some moment of heightened activity. And so, as you're talking about, it seems like a certain group of very creative individuals don't go beyond that cusp.
Uh-huh.
And so in the show, I think there's, on the one hand, this kind of acknowledgement of that, but then there's one painting, which is called 28, this amazing glitter painting,
mm-hmm.
and that has the number 27 in it, but then it also has the number 28.
Uh-huh.
And I think it's sort of a positive or hopeful kind of message to get, you know, to go beyond that potential moment of loss.
Right.
So, or disappearance. So there's both the kind of commemoration and the aspiration to for greater things.
Right.
All in the show.
Cool. So what? I know when I was in my when I was 27, I didn't have much sense at all. So, I mean, what do you think contributes to, do you think this astrological thing, or does he think this astrological thing contributes to, to their ultimate demise?
Yeah, I don't want to speak for Chris, but he does, I think a question or maybe a misconception with his work often is, because he uses glitter, we can talk about why he used glitter in a second, that maybe there's some irony to the work or some cynicism, but Chris is just one of the most honest, sincere, and good-intentioned people. And so I think my inclination is to, although maybe the astrological influence is not the only reason or the only cause, it's definitely an influence worth considering in his mind.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of there's an earnestness to his relationship to these greater forces. And I think the paintings, you know, they're spectacular in a way. And I think they almost try to create, for you to believe as well. You're kind of caught up mm-hmm. in the emotion and the intensity of the pictures. And at the same time, they're also, kind of amazingly hand wrought. I mean, Chris even makes his own stretchers.
Oh, cool.
So, you know, they're not perfect squares.
Right.
And everything, I think you can just sort of read his hand into all of the work. It feels definitely like the making of one person or of a few people. There's definitely not much outsourcing here.
Right.
And I think that kind of comes out of, in a way, to sort of dovetail into the glitter, Chris went to Yale, but then dropped out because I think he was on a different wavelength than the painting, the school there, and their ambition.
Right.
And his only completed formal training is a certificate in art therapy.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that kind of like the sort of the idea of arts and crafts or using materials that are, I mean, there's collage in the paintings. There's in that 28 painting, there's a banana peel that's encrusted with paint. There's the glitter, obviously, but just, you know, there's drawings on leaves, drawings on paper bags, basically using whatever's at hand and in a way making it beautiful. And the glitter comes out of actually in the early 90s working with AIDS patients doing therapy with them, and someone I think brought glitter along, and so there is that kind of again, it's like it's coming from this very kind of generous and positive place, even though it's also the glitter that Vegas showgirls use and is put into highways to so you can actually see the road at night.
Right. So, yeah, and who doesn't like glitter? I mean, it's very sparkly. So.
And it kind of also reminds me of, like a Eastern sand mandala.
Yeah.
Where, like, this, like the infinite particles of the glitter composing some larger image. And so there's just the sort of connection, again, to greater things through the smallest, back to, like, the hand and, like, just the act of dropping a little glitter onto a canvas.
Right. Yeah, that's really interesting. I hadn't thought of it that way. That's very cool.
And I think something I want to say about the outdoor painting is that something with the exhibition that's really, I think, successful is Chris is known, or actually maybe even a little bit unknown, if I can say that, because he is so open and free with his practice.
Right.
That I think when someone first encounters his work, they have a hard time recognizing that everything in the room is done by the same artist. I mean, going from a very figurative portrait of Amy, like we described, to, you know, an entirely abstract painting of stripes, which you could see as a sunset if you wanted to,
right?
Or a landscape, but, you know, he kind of covers the full gamut of painting. And I think so he just has this amazingly expansive idea of the way of picture making and painting specifically. And I think those outdoor paintings, you know, it goes beyond what's even in the rectangle, but where the rectangle ends up in the world and how it's shown.
Right. Yeah, he seems to have like a really, really broad range of skills. I mean, he does and pieces that he does, like, and styles that he does. Like, he does the simplistic abstract type stuff, which I really like. And then he can do the landscapes, the really, really detailed painted landscapes and the portraits. And I think that's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, it goes from being the thing I'll say is that even in his most graphic paintings, like this, like paintings of just simple shapes, there's still a really strong material register. He paints, going back to that kind of, you know, what's at hand sensibility, he paints on canvas drop cloths.
Mm-hmm.
So there's usually a seam, or there's almost always a seam running through the painting. So even one that just is, you know, oil and acrylic seems totally flat. There's this bead going down the middle that makes it into an object and, you know, very kind of sort of amps up the immediacy and the directness of this thing in front of you. And then he often, you know, oftentimes the sides of the paintings have been touched in some way as well. So again, the entire object becomes the art in a way, not just, again, this frontal image.
Right. And that, I think that's really cool. And you said that he makes his own canvas, right?
Well, he makes his own stretchers that he puts around the canvas. So they're never quite as perfect as some of his peers.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that just adds to it.
Yeah, and I think you know, that kind of openness and that break bravery and that generosity has kind of made Chris, I sort of think of him as being this kind of godfather of Brooklyn painting. A lot of young artists, or sort of a younger generation, very much looks up to Chris, both artists in our program, but then others like, you could probably say, Joe Bradley and Catherine Bernhardt and Mike Williams. Definitely, you can see the sort of the influence and the fact that, but even artists who you like, even if you don't see any kind of stylistic relationship between them, you ask them about Chris Martin and they're like, they look up to him because he doesn't seem to have hang-ups in the way he approaches the medium. He just goes for it. It doesn't always work, but it works more often than not.
And right.
It's amazing to see someone approaching it so fearlessly. Mm-hmm. I think it's like all painters wish they could do that in some way.
Yeah, yeah. So you did you put this exhibit together? So, what was the whole process of I guess, getting the paintings, conceiving the idea? Just talk about that some. I think that's interesting.
Sure. We wanted to do a show of Chris, and we moved into this new space back in September of 2014. Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
And, I wouldn't talk about that yet. But, yeah, he's 61 years old and making, with the energy and drive and vision of half his age. And he really wanted to do both spaces. I mean, he wanted to, take over the building, and which was an idea that we were very receptive to. And, he pulled out some paintings that he's had in the studio for a while he's been holding on to, but then also new things that he's made very recently. There's a nice thing that happens in Chris's paintings. He always dates the front with his initial CM, but then also the year. And sometimes he puts ellipses at the end of it as though, it might not be quite finished or he's going to come back to it.
I like that.
And then there's some where he did that and then actually came back to it. So there's a second number, a second year, or a third year written all on the same painting. So you can kind of, this sense of time.
Yeah.
Because sometimes the painting seems so quick and fast. And you can, other ones you can like, he literally spells it out for you that this was like a 5-year painting. But so we went, there was a couple visits, but one in closer to the show, in which we, spent a pretty magical evening having his assistants just pull out all sorts of things that were in there, and from there we kind of, and he's been in that same studio since '84, and the paintings, 11-foot ones, barely fit vertically in the space. There was one painting that was, I don't remember how big it was, 16 feet or so, that we could only see on its side. And just, from there, picked the selection. And again, I think we were trying to show the full range. But there is this kind of thematic that through the Amy Winehouse imagery and some of the other astrological symbols and iconography that relates back to Saturn returns. And there's one thing I should say in terms of Chris's ambition. The next week, first week of May, during the Freeze Art Fair in New York, Chris is going to have a special exhibition presentation at Ugo Rondinone's studio in Harlem.
Oh, cool.
Ugo acquired this magnificent Grand Baptist Church that I think was built in 1880.
Oh, wow.
And has spring walls, I think maybe as high as 40 feet. And so Chris will have a cycle of paintings on display there. And then at Unlimited, at Art Basel, this summer, he's going to have a 26-foot-high painting installed as well.
Wow.
So you can, it's, we have big walls, and we actually at one point had even talked about installing works that large, but not hanging them on the walls, but having them leaning against the rafters.
Wow.
Sort of in the middle of the space. So again, you can kind of get a sense of
how huge they are.
Not to borrow Basel's word, but unlimited Chris's vision is for painting.
That's incredible. And I love that whole concept. I love just the largeness, the infiniteness. I love the ellipses reference. I think that's fantastic. I'm gonna start doing that. putting ellipses after my name.
Yeah, and I think he's happy to have everyone, work off his ideas. He's not such a generous person. I want to say that even there's, besides these, gigantic paintings, there's pictures in the show. There's one installed outdoors and then one in each gallery of these really vibrant paintings of frogs.
Mm-hmm.
So it goes from that macrocosmic scale to the little, Chris spends the summers painting in the Catskills.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the imagery, both the sunset imagery and, these frog kind of companions reappear. And so there's just, the scale shift, it's all inclusive.
Uh-huh.
There's really nothing he wouldn't consider including in a painting.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I love that.
Yeah, no, I wish you could come see the show. It will put a smile on your face.
Yeah.
And as an artist, it's very inspiring.
Yeah, that sounds amazing. So what other kinds of stuff do you have going on there?
At the gallery?
Yeah.
So next round of exhibitions on June 4th are a installation with Valentin Caron, who's a amazing Swiss sculptor with a pretty wicked sense of humor.
Mm-hmm.
These new bronze plinth-based works and a kind of a wall intervention that deal with some kind of sort of pedestrian images, but again, cast in a humorous way.
Right.
And kind of given a more, like taking, seeing French fries on the sidewalk. Commemorating that in bronze.
That's awesome.
And then in the other gallery, we'll have our second exhibition with Sam Gilliam, which will feature historic beveled edge and drape paintings from the late 60s and early 70s, including one beveled edge painting that's 22 feet long called Green April, which is sort of kind of Sam's Monet water lilies, and that's just astounding.
Yeah,
so
sounds
it's
amazing.
It's gonna be an exciting summer. We're going to Frieze, New York next week with a body of work by Maitu Perret, another Swiss artist that we work with, who has an exhibition on view right now at the Nasher Sculpture Center in Dallas, and it's a continuation of that work. Including these gorgeous carpet paintings, kind of Rorschach paintings on carpets, and then also these figures that relate to the all-female militias, the Kurdish all-female militias that are kind of defending their homes from ISIS right now.
But they're
figures made in, some of them are papier mâché, some are made in wicker, and there's some that are in ceramic, which is amazing as these kind of colorfully glazed mannequin-like
Yeah.
I think politically and emotionally. So we're, yeah, looking, that's going to be, I'm very excited to get that installed and have New York see that.
Yeah. Oh, that sounds amazing. That sounds really cool. So, yeah, so this, thank you so much for coming on and chatting with me. I really appreciate it.
For sure. So, it's my pleasure.
Yeah.
And I hope some of your listeners come get to see Chris's shows, whether in here in L.A. or New York or elsewhere. I think you'll be seeing a lot more from Chris in the last couple, the next couple years.
So. Cool. Well, I'm going to sign off right now, but stay on the line. Thank you so much to Kurt Mueller for telling us about the Saturn Returns exhibit at the David Kordansky Gallery. And thank you to you for listening. I know I learned a lot. If you're in the LA area, check out the gallery. If you're interested in having us promote your product or service, if you have a comment, if you have ideas for future podcasts, or would like to be on the show yourself, please contact me at arttalkwithbrooke@gmail.com. That's all one word and Brooke with an E. Thanks for listening. Let's Talk Art with Brooke is a Hotspur Media production.